We begin the second week of Lent, which, as you already know, is one of the most important and intense seasons of the year. During this 6 weeks, the Church encourages us to interrupt our usual routine and to take stock of our lives, to ask how we are doing as disciples. In years past, we sought to prove how earnest we were by practicing some token sacrifice during Lent. For example, by giving up sweets or cigarettes or alcohol. Nowadays, the Church urges us to do something more positive. For instance, to find a few minutes for quiet prayer during the day, or to work on some particular fault like impatience. Whichever of these two approaches strikes your fancy, it's important to remember that Lent is not a spectator sport. If you want to get something out of Lent, you have to put something into it. And so allow me to be a bit intrusive and to ask you, what are you doing for Lent this year? If you have not settled on anything yet, it's not too late to begin. There are still 5 weeks left. If you're looking for a suggestion, there's one that pops right out of today's gospel story of the Transfiguration. It's a simple suggestion. Actually, it's a single word. It's the word that God spoke to Peter, James, and John. Do you remember it? Listen. That's what God says to the disciples. Listen. So for your Lenten resolution, I suggest that you simply practice the art of reverent listening. Although that sounds easy enough, deep listening does not happen very often. Many conversations where we think we are listening are not really conversations at all. They are two monologues going on simultaneously. I wait patiently until you finish talking because that's what good manners require. But then I say exactly what I would have said as if you had not even opened your mouth. Other conversations are more like debates. I listen carefully, but only for you to slip up with that one inept word or imprecise fact, and then I pounce and blow you out of the water. Reverent listening is something altogether different. Real listening begins not when I hear your naked words, but when I accept and respect you, the person who speaks those words. The Gospels describe Mary as a good listener. First, she listened to the angel Gabriel. Then she listened to the shepherds and the magi, and then to Simeon in the temple. After listening to all of them, the Gospel says, Mary treasured all these things, pondering over them in her heart. That's the real art of listening to another person, to treasure the person who stands before you and to hold what they say in your heart. But listening like that is risky. For one thing, it eats up precious time, often when we can least afford it. For another, it may mean taking on another person's burden when we have more than enough of our own to handle. But even if there is that risk, there is also a payoff. Listening reverently to another person is an act of love toward that person. When I practice real listening, I become a better human being. It also helps in another important way. God's command to Peter, James, and John in today's gospel wasn't just listen. What God says was, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Why? Because Jesus, God's beloved son, is also God's message to us. That's what we mean when we say that he is the word of God. In giving Jesus to us, God has said everything he needs to say. And so, God simply says, listen to him. But how exactly? Well, for one thing, the Church tells us that Jesus is present in the scriptures that we read at Mass. That's why at the end of our readings we proclaim the word of the Lord. But do you really believe that? That what we hear is actually the word of God? If you do believe that, how should we listen to it? As ardently as Moses listened to the voice of God on Mount Sinai? As excitedly as Mary heard God's message at Nazareth? Is this how we usually listen to these readings? Or has the repetition of them over the years dulled our senses? The fact is, this Jesus who speaks to us is not just a character out of the dead past. When the Word of God is proclaimed at Mass, it is God Himself who speaks. Now, at this moment. And so our reaction should be like that of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were worn out and dejected when Jesus appeared to them on that first Easter night. At first, they didn't even recognize him. But once he left them, they exclaimed, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he spoke to us?" When was the last time your heart burned as you listened to God speaking to you in the gospel? If there's ever any hope of that happening again, we have to listen with our hearts and not just our ears. And how can we listen to God speaking through the readings if we don't know how to listen to each other day in and day out? That's why it's so important to relearn how we listen to each other. When we listen reverently to each other, it trains our hearts so that we can better listen to the voice of God. So if you're still looking for something to do for Lent, if you want to make Lent something more than a spectator sport, I suggest that you listen. Simply listen. Start by listening to one another at home or at work. Then, once you have practiced listening reverently to your friends and family, cock your ear to the others around you. Try to capture the weary despair in the voice of the homeless person, or the anxiety in the voice of the immigrant. You may not be able to change their situation, but still hold their predicament in your heart for just a moment. Listen to God speaking to you through them, shaping your heart through their life, leading you to deeper compassion. For your Lenten penance, I suggest, please just listen.